Howdy. It's about, I don't know, fuck, almost 11:30 p.m. here in Seattle, Washington. May the 30th, right? 2020. You. I really don't. I don't really have good news. I kind of went off a cliff existentially today. And consider the possibility that I'm living on a planet of fuckers and miserable people and for the most part slaves and zombies and gumbus freaks. What do you say about a place that people once called the land of the free and the home of the brave? Land of the free, home of the brave. I don't even have words for this. I was pretty certain that, you know, snow day or the lockdown, whatever the fuck you want to call it, it had a shelf life, about 90 to 120 days, and more or less it stayed within that general parameter. And it seemed to me that what would come after this was a kind of chaos, and we're seeing it. And I think one potential strategy is they want to avoid worse chaos later, right? Start a little fire now, avoid a bigger fire later. That's a strategy. And it's not the worst strategy. It really isn't. Not if you're evil and you control the world, and you don't really give a shit about people, but all you really care about is power, then fucking with people and organizing agitators to start riots and staging public executions. Because whatever the truth is about the George Floyd murder, it was absolutely a public execution. Okay? This wasn't some group of racist cops in Mississippi back in the 60s in the darkness of night kidnapping some African Americans and hanging them, which is fucked up and terrible, monstrous and evil. No, this was actually the same kind of shit, but done on, you know, the internet. Done with people recording with their cameras. And yeah, the new number is it took 9 minutes for George to die. So there were people, maybe even people that knew George, that kept their fucking cameras pointed at George for 9 minutes as he was asking and pleading for his life. And clearly, the fucking cop that had his knee on George's neck wasn't particularly interested in saving George's life. So it's a question. Why the fuck didn't one of his neighbors, members of his own fucking community, put a fucking bullet through that fucking cop's head? Now you can say, oh Dan, you're blaming the victims. No, I'm not. George Floyd was the fucking victim. The people taking the pictures, the people recording it, they were the fucking spectators. They were the ones that thought it was more important to record this on video and to go viral than to interrupt the execution of one of their neighbors. But Dan, if they stood up to the cops, they might get arrested. Yeah, they might. They might very well, but there's a good chance George Floyd would be alive today, and there's an even higher likelihood that the reason, the pretext, the casus belli, as they would say in just war theory, for these stupid fucking riots wouldn't even be there. This whole scheme would have imploded upon itself if just a few of his fucking neighbors had put down their fucking phones and stopped the execution. And okay, you know, people didn't want to do this in other cases, not before Ferguson, not before Baltimore, so many other cases. Neighbors just kind of were okay with the fact that cops were going to come and kill their neighbors. I say as of now, you need to stop being fucking okay with that. I don't care how real it is. I don't know how real it was. But if it does actually look like a police officer is executing a human being, then I think you have a responsibility to take action and not simply videotape it. So that's where I'm at with George Floyd and the riots and the chaos. And we are probably a week away from some type of regional, if not nationwide, martial law. And after that, you might as well just say goodbye to whatever the fuck you thought the United States of America was, which means we're probably 7 to 10 days away from the functional end of this republic. Whatever comes next, whatever two-bit, half-ass, QAnon, Trump, MAGA, Joseph Biden, I don't give a fuck which World Wrestling Federation leader gets into that position in the soap opera. Whatever comes next, the country you got used to is done. And that could mean the New World Order crap, could mean one world government. When I look at the chaos that they're sowing, the disarray, the diversions, the ridiculous combination of several contradictory events, what it looks like to me is a kind of retreat or withdrawal in a military context. And you want to pop smoke, you want to lay down obscuration, you want to camouflage the fact that you're moving away. So one scenario is that the people that run this fucking world know that something is coming, something really bad, and they don't give a fuck about you, and they don't give a fuck about me. But they do care about their luxury condos in Antarctica. And yeah, I haven't been in the mood to podcast much. I've barely been able to podcast with my friend Jim, and the good news is he usually has a lot to say, so if I'm not in a mood to say much, I don't really have to. But I haven't really been in the mood to do any of this, to talk to any of you. Why? Maybe one reason is I've got hundreds of hours of podcasts from the last couple years basically describing almost everything that's going on. And one of the things I thought about at one point is, well, doesn't this mean that psychologically it'll be easier for me to deal with it? And perhaps on one level it is. I really don't know. I don't know how most people are doing. I have friends of mine who tell me that their siblings, their wives, their boyfriends, their girlfriends are living in kind of a trance. They are so behind the curve on catching up with what the fuck is going on that they still think they're living in, like, I don't know, November 2019. That world is gone. Even if that was a place worth going back to, you can't go back to it. And this isn't about saying that someone's middle class life was wrong. But let's have some real talk here. There are no really good jobs on the Death Star. Okay? I don't care if you fucking deliver pizza. I don't care if you do psychological counseling. I don't give a fuck what your occupation is. There are no good jobs on the Death Star. They are all rackets. It's all criminal. It's all corrupt. And I know some people like to tell themselves, well, my job, Dan, is a good job. All I do is make Band-Aids. Really, all you do is make Band-Aids. Where do those Band-Aids go? Ah, to the United States Army. So basically, you're just supplying Band-Aids to a military force. Yeah, I just supply the Band-Aids. Dan, all I do is make tacos. All I do is take pictures at weddings. All I do is a blog. Oh, Dan, all I do is garden. I mine Bitcoin. Shut the fuck up. If you are in the United States of America, if you live on this Death Star, I don't care who the fuck you think you are. Whatever you think you are, you're not innocent. I'm not innocent, and you're not innocent either. So if you're trusting and hoping because you think you lived a good, decent life on the Death Star and never ruffled any feathers and always paid your taxes on time, you need to catch up, people. Your taxes, your voting, your entire concept that you were led to believe that related to you as an American citizen is gone. And once the martial law hits, it's a question of whether or not you want to keep your family alive. For years, since at least 2015, I told people, move the fuck out of the cities. I've told siblings, I've told friends, people make fun of me, and I stop talking. I think it was last Thanksgiving and maybe Christmas, I didn't really want to talk about it, but some of my, you know, brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews have fun when crazy Uncle Dan talks crazy shit. And I said, get six months of food. Have food on hand. This is before the COVID thing was even a thing. Why did I say before the COVID thing was a thing, have food on hand? Because my instincts were telling me last autumn that this shit was about to crack wide open. And people thought it was funny. So, yeah, it's too late to tune in the podcast. It's too fucking late, probably, to start a podcast. There might be a future where your normal job, baking pies at good old Aunt Mary's fucking weirdo pie factory, maybe that'll come back. Maybe you'll be able to do your dream job selling purses on the internet. I don't fucking know what you want to do. But that world of a kind of quasi-normal life is on hold. Your main occupation, as of right now, is to stay alive. To survive. To do so without harming others. And, if you're able, to defend your dignity and your freedom. Your main occupation right now is to figure out a way through this mess without being thrown into a FEMA camp, without being killed, without getting one of good old Bill Gates' magical COVID stamps, and getting the magical fucking vaccine. That's your job. Your job is to make sure you know how to find food, water, shelter. That's your job. If you're an accountant, that's not your job. Your job is to figure out how you're going to fucking survive. And I think there are some occupations that are always needed. A good nurse, a good doctor that knows what the fuck they're doing without prescribing a pill, that's a good occupation. There are others. There are other skills and occupations that will probably weather the storm okay. But if you're a lawyer or an accountant or some type of white-collar worker or a software engineer like me, that job's over. That job is gone. If I ever do write code for people again and get paid for it, It isn't going to be for Microsoft. It isn't going to be for Amazon. And I'm not really shedding a tear for that, about that, you know. So up next is martial law, because we now know what the flying monkey is right now. The flying monkey that follows the magical COVID is this Civil War, race war dreck. This badly written morality play involving a racist white officer in Minneapolis publicly executing an African American man. This is the next flying monkey. This fucking Civil War bullshit. If you have any common sense, listen to what I'm saying. Don't fucking discuss tactical plans on social media. Don't discuss tactical plans unencrypted. In fact, if you're going to meet with people to do anything, leave your fucking phone behind. Better yet, at some point in the near future, you need to put your fucking phone in the fucking microwave. Because that phone is a dog collar. Unless you know about every piece of architecture on that phone, you have no idea how they're tracking you. Practice good OPSEC. If you intend to protect the things and the people you love, do that. If you intend to do more, keep it a fucking secret. You don't talk about it on the phone. You don't talk about it on the internet. And if you don't already have connections with people who are ready to do something, it's probably too late to get connected. At least for right now. Now, me personally, I expect to die in Seattle. That's logical. That's probability. Given my age, given my demographic, given the fact that I've got about 88 cents to my name in my checking account, yeah, I expect to die here, and don't feel sorry for me. This is not tragic. This was expected. And I'm not going to be alone. I will tell you this, over the next few years, if you happen to die, you're going to have a lot of company.